Hello and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion and worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. This portion of Scripture that we come to this morning deals with trials in our lives. And you must, beloved, you must understand this fact, that as a child of God, when you go through trials in life, they are not a curse to you. They are not a curse on the believer. All curse has been removed from the believer. It's not a judgment for your sin. It may be discipline that the Lord brings upon you, but it's not a judgment, and there is a distinction. Christ was judged for our sins on the cross. Now, as the children of God, we are chastised when we sin, when we get out of the way, when we walk contrary to the Word of God. The Lord chastises us. He chastens us. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that whom the Lord loves, He chastens. That is a blessing for us. It is a blessing for the parents to discipline their children. You're not punishing them. You're not sending them to prison. You're not bringing some kind of a punishment upon their actions towards them. You're disciplining them and instructing them to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. And you must have those two distinguished in your mind. Judgment and discipline are distinct. They're two different, completely different things. Understand that now, as a child of God, that when, not if, when you suffer trials in your life, that is not God's judgment upon you. As I said, it may be God's discipline, but it may not be. We reflect upon Job. And you find nowhere in the Scripture that Job suffered what he did because of some particular sin that he had committed. That was Job's problem, wasn't it? He didn't understand what he had done. He was relating the discipline upon him, the hardship and the suffering, with some type of an activity that he had committed. And at the end, we realize, as Job puts his hand over his mouth and said, I spoke too soon. You are God. You are the Almighty. You have every right to do with me, the creature, as you so please. And as Paul says, who is he who can stand up and say, what is this that you have done? Understanding this, beloved, teaches us how to go through the trials of life. You will suffer them. It's inevitable. I can tell you three things for sure that happen in this life. Death, taxes, and trials. And they're going to come to all of us. You young people are not paying taxes now. You will. You might be paying more than we pay now, but you'll pay. You might not have suffered many trials in this life. You will. Ask your parents. Ask your grandparents. You haven't suffered death, but you will.
You know people who have died. You have relatives who have died. You have grandparents who have died. You'll suffer it. We all go through these things. And you cannot bury your head in the sand. You cannot act as if these things will not happen to you. You cannot think that you are above these things. You cannot think that God does not send these trials upon His people. The Catechism even teaches that even the evil that He sent upon us in this veil of tears, He turns to our good. He is able, being Almighty God, and He is willing also, being a faithful Father. So understand, beloved, that in this world, as Jesus said, you will suffer tribulation. Now how do you go through this understanding? He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And Paul calls us in Romans 8, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are more, we are super conquerors in Him. It's a neat word there in the Greek, Nike. It's where we get Nike. Nike shoes, the champions. That's what it means, Nike. And that's what Paul calls the believer in Christ, champions. Why? Because we've overcome in Jesus Christ. Christ has overcome all things, and if we are in Him, we have, therefore, by association with Christ, have overcome all things in Him. I wonder how much we truly grasp what we have received, the benefits in Jesus Christ. Do you realize in the goodness of God and the gracious gospel given to us that when we believe on Jesus Christ, all that He has done becomes ours by imputation? That is imputed to us. All His perfect works, the blessing of God, the joy of the relationship that He has with His Heavenly Father, all of that becomes ours in Him. In all of our sin, all of our misery, all of that stuff that sends us to hell has been imputed to Christ, and He suffered that on the cross. And therefore, as the hymn writer says, we bear it no more. Praise the Lord. So understand, beloved, that in this world, you'll have tribulation. Learn how to deal with it. Learn now from the teaching of God's Word how to deal with trouble in your life so when it does come, you can respond to the trouble to the glory of God. You can have an informed mind as you deal with the trials, the suffering, the tribulation, the persecution of this life. Now look at James chapter 1. Our text this morning. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Look at verse 2, 3, and 4. Verse 2 gives us a command. Gives us the call of how we are to live as believers. Look at the verse 3. This is the reason we are to live right there. Like this. Verse 3 gives us the reason of our living. Enduring trials. And verse 4 gives us the result of living this way. So you have the command which God gives us, you have the reason for the command, and you have the result of walking in obedience to that command in these three verses. But James, who is the half-brother of our Lord, he writes this little epistle. James was the pastor in the church in Jerusalem. He wasn't an apostle. He was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have been told sometimes in tradition that Jesus didn't have any brothers, that Mary was perpetually a virgin. That's not the case. Matthew chapter 12 tells us that Jesus had brothers and sisters. They were half-brothers and sisters. They had the same mother, but Jesus, as you know, his father was gone. He did not have an earthly father. James was at one time an unbeliever. So understand the testimony written to us here in this word is coming from a man whose heart has been changed by the Spirit of the living God. Do you remember how early on the brothers told Jesus, he's out of his mind. They did not yet believe. The Spirit of God brought them to belief in the Savior Jesus Christ. He calls himself a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've told you before, I don't like that translation. It's always toned down in our English versions. It always is rendered doulos, the bondservant, as the term doulos as bondservant or servant. There is really no Greek term translation into bondservant. It does not mean bondservant. It does not mean servant. There's other words for that. This word doulos that is spoken here means slave. And how the Greek renders this is it says, Iokobos, which is James at the beginning, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's spoken of in a genitive in the Greek, which means he is the possession of God. James writes this as one who belongs to God. I belong to God and I am a slave. I am a slave of my master. I serve them as a slave. I have no rights. I have no property. What I have has been given to me as a steward to steward for His glory and honor. And that's what my life is about. Service of God. Notice how He calls Himself. I'm a slave of the living God. My life, my business, my thoughts are not my own. They are geared towards serving the one who has bought me. And that's what happens with a slave. A slave is one who is purchased. Now, beloved, all of us who are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ can say this morning that we are slaves of Jesus Christ, bought by Him, and we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as James teaches here that his life was about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, in the same way, principally, that's our life. Can you say that this morning? Can you look at this first verse and understand, as James says, that he is a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his business is about serving Him? Can you say that of yourself? Can you say you're not your own, but I am truly a slave bought by Jesus Christ? I belong to Him. I've been bought with a price, not silver and gold, but with His precious blood. You see, that's on the heart of those who have been redeemed. They understand their life is a service to God. It should be a striving continually to serve Him and to be better stewards of what He has given to us, that we might steward what He gives to us for His honor, His glory, and the extension of the kingdom of Christ. How often do we not think that way, beloved? How often do we think that the things that I have, I use for what I want? Rather than asking the question, how would God have me to use these possessions? How would He have me to steward them?
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.